James chapter 2 in your Bibles. Look at verse 19. James chapter 2, verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe. They believe that. And tremble. They shudder at that truth. In chapter 3, notice verse 15. This wisdom, this is a text, of course, everybody's familiar with, but I just want you to see the last part of this verse. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Father, help us to know your word tonight, to be reminded of some powerful, basic, life-changing, life-protecting truths. May we hear them, dear God, as your people, as your children. We need them always in this society, in this culture that we're living. And I pray that we'll heed them in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 3, verse 15, you'll notice, tells us that there is a wisdom, that there is a teaching. That's what the word literally means, a doctrine, if you will, a belief. That instead of originating up in heaven, heaven above, this teaching, this wisdom, in quotes, this doctrine, actually originates, the Bible says, from below. And so it's described, you'll notice the last part of it, as devilish. The word devilish there literally means devilish. It means demonic. It means satanic. Back in chapter 2, we read earlier, look at it again, verse 19 says, thou believest that there is one God. That believing in one God is monotheism. It's obviously a doctrine. It is a teaching. In this case, it is a true doctrine. It's an orthodox belief, as it were. And wouldn't you know it, it is a belief that even the demons admit to. Verse 19, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils, it's the same word as devilish, the devils also believe that and tremble. Now, if it seems strange to you that devils have their own wisdom, that demons have a statement of faith, so to speak, that they have their own belief system, their own theology, then you'll consider tonight they also have their own curriculum. That is, they teach from a prescribed set of beliefs. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 in your Bibles, just a few pages back. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The message tonight is in response to two different issues in the past few months that we have dealt with pastorally, with some folks that could have been avoided, tragic things, if they just hadn't believed the wrong thing. 1 Timothy chapter 4, notice verse 1, now the Spirit, that's capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly, it means distinctly, clearly, that in the latter times, we're living in those, some shall depart from the faith. That's a prescribed set of doctrines and beliefs as well. They will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There is a wisdom that is devilish. There are things that the devils believe. But there are doctrines that the devils teach. Doctrines of devils. It's an interesting word here in verse 1. The word doctrine, it simply means teaching. The Greek word is didaskalia. Didaskalia, for those of you who took a little bit of Greek, is a very familiar word, as you know, about teaching. It was used by our Lord. When he spoke to the Pharisees, he said, quote, they taught for doctrines the commandments of men. Those came from below. Those are devilish as well. Paul used the same word in Romans. It's translated as teaching. Romans 12:7 says, let us wait on ministering, or he that teacheth on his didaskalia, Leah, teaching. It is also translated in Romans 15:4 as the word learning. These things, in the Old Testament, were written for our learning. It's the exact same Greek word as the one in 1 Timothy 4. And of course, several times in the New Testament, it is translated, just as it is in this text, as, quote, doctrine, including verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Also, notice verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, the exact same word. Verse 16, take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, that is the doctrine, the good doctrine. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So, hear this carefully. The meaning is very clear. When it says doctrines of devils in verse 1, it's talking about their teachings. The only difference is this text is in reference to demonic doctrine as opposed to the good doctrine, doctrines of devils. Now, that brings me to this matter of demons and the issues that I've been dealing with and have dealt with some folks, and especially when it comes to their beliefs, their mind, if you will. The Bible calls, when we think of the mind, the Bible, of course, speaks about the heart of man. Science refers to it as you know, of course, the brain. The human brain typically weighs about 3 pounds, contains 12 billion cells. Each of those cells is connected to 10,000 other brain cells. That adds up to 120 trillion brain connections for most people. So I want you to think for a minute about this, your brain, and think about it in the context of doctrine, of teaching. Your brain that God created, that controls, supervises everything you do. It's controlling your involuntary heartbeat, controlling the hearing of your voice, of my voice right now, of your seeing this pulpit with your eyes, your own speech, your eating, your resting, your decisions, everything and everything that you have within your body, every other organ in your body is controlled by your brain. You know this, and in fact, three major aspects of your mind basically, essentially determines your entire life, the direction of your life, the decisions. You know what they are? The intellect, the emotion, and the will. And folks, look, inasmuch as every psychologist and scientist have labeled these three aspects of the mind, it's obvious they really don't have a true grasp and understanding, a spiritual understanding of them. A few years ago, I was reading Michael Waltrip's biography and his testimony. And I'll never forget, he was talking about what happened when he first won the Daytona 500. He had tried and tried and tried and tried. And of course, that's, you know, this is a man, and athletes are the same way. They spend their entire lives training to do something, to win something, and when they get it. He described his excitement, his elation, his unbounded joy that Michael Waltrip had at his age, winning the Super Bowl of racing. He said it was incomparable. The endorphins that released in his mind. You know, it's a pretty grueling thing, apparently. And since he was racing for the DE team, he said in this little biography that he couldn't wait. He couldn't wait. The first thing that entered his mind was, I can't wait to be congratulated by my boss, Dale Earnhardt himself, except that within minutes, as you know. Dale Earnhardt hit the wall. He died instantly, just a few cars behind him. So he said that from the joy and the elation that his mind had in the winner's circle, within a few seconds, the pain, the deep sorrow that he had at that hospital chapel. And Michael Waltrip said that what his mind did to his body physically terrified him. He said he was paralyzed. Couldn't move. The thought of that one piece of information reaching his mind paralyzed his body. I can imagine this. Because, you know, this is the emotional center of the brain. It's powerful. And you know what, folks? The will is actually even more complicated than the emotions and hard to describe. I mean, the Bible talks about it. Your will is what sort of faces these tough choices, the decisions that you're going to make tonight, tomorrow, and the next day. And sometimes, if not oftentimes, it is in conflict with your emotions, how you feel. Paul talks about that in Romans 7 and 8. When he said, that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, he said, that's what I do. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Of course, it goes on to give the answer. Christ, his power, and mostly his word, changes the balance of power in the mind. But note this. For a Christian, for a child of God, whose mind has been spiritually enlightened. Okay, you've been awakened. You are born again tonight. The most important part of your mind is, by far, is your intellect. God created that intellect. That intellect is the part of your mind where abides your beliefs, what you believe. The doctrines, the teachings, the learnings that you have cultivated in your mind, your heart, are part of your intellect. And again, it's what the Bible calls your heart. It's not surprising then to read and to learn that, you know, demons, Satan hates God. They hate God. Demons have doctrines. This book is a book of doctrines. It's aimed at your heart. It's aimed at your intellect. Demons have doctrines. They're teachers. They are preachers. They are authors and philosophers who know better than a lot of Christians that the real battle spiritually between a life of productivity and fruitfulness and utter destruction is in your mind. Ultimately, it comes down to what you believe. Now, most people, when they think about demons, they go to extremes. You know what I mean? They either ignore them, deny them altogether, or they obsess over them. They're afraid of them all the time. Remember Frank Peretti when his books were out, and a lot of people read them and they started taking them very seriously, like some sort of personal autobiography, and so they saw demons. Behind everything that happened in life, it was the demon's fault. There's demons at the Jupiter Lighthouse, demons over here. I can't come to church on October 31st. I had someone tell me that once. I can't come to church. It's Halloween night. You know, the demons, it's their happy night. They're out there. They have an attitude or whatever. Well, that's where you ought to be in church if that's what you really believe. And it's sad, but one of the most popular growing movements in America are some of these deliverance movements. These are Christian organizations, and if you get a brochure someday and you're invited to come to one of these, don't go. Don't attend these things. These ministries are focused on delivering people from demonic possession. And yes, they have seminars and cleansing rituals. They have these things called warrior weekends where they go out and do battle against demons. It's like a spiritual paintball club, I guess. And they principalities and powers in these weekends in their town. And not surprisingly, most of these groups are charismatic or Catholic or a mixture of both, meaning weak on doctrine, weak on belief. Now, please don't get me wrong. The Bible teaches the existence of demons. You know that as well as I do. And the Bible warns us against dabbling in demonic powers. The problem is most believers give these demons far more credit than they deserve physically and far less credit than they deserve intellectually, or I should say mentally. We've said this before, but good angels outnumber the demons 2 to 1. And the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. The battle is in your mind. And contrary to what charismatics and Hollywood ever implies, demons have no attributes of God. You're not supposed to be afraid of them in that sense. They can't read your mind. They cannot be everywhere at one time. They can't possess a Christian. Do you know there's not one instance in all of the Bible where a believer is being possessed? Not one. Say, Pastor, what can they do? Well, I'm glad you asked that because that's something that the Bible is clear. It does clarify. And while it is true that demons, if allowed, can do some physical damage to people, it must be remembered that even any physical manifestation of demonic activity always in the Bible begins in the mind. It always begins in the heart. Oh, that's not so, Pastor. Read about the demoniac of Gadara. Scary. He's running around, cutting himself with rocks. He's unclothed. He's foaming at the mouth. He has matted hair. He's out of control. He hangs out in the cemetery. He lives in the graveyard. Scary picture. Yeah, but if you think about that text in the Gospels, read it for yourself, you will find that everything you read about that's scary, he did it to himself. He cut himself. He did it to himself because his mind was assaulted. And then his own mind assaulted his body. He cut himself. He went to those cemeteries on his own self. The demons didn't come and just, you know, like on Hollywood movies, and they just suddenly appeared and throw him against the wall and carry him out into the wilderness. His mind was the real battlefield, which is why the Bible says that when Jesus cast a demon out, he was seated, clothed, quote, in his right mind. The Lord got his mind right. Look at verse 1, chapter 4 again. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy. That literally means the lies are covered up. They sound good. They appear good. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hard iron. Say, well, these must be some weird, off-the-wall doctrines of devils. They must be really strange. Well, yeah, the next one, verse tells what they are, forbidding to marry. There's a religion, a whole religion that teaches that doctrine. And the Bible is clear. That's not the only one. Look, commanding to abstain from meats. We live in a country and a culture where the command to abstain from meats has grown and grown and grown, and it's being taught and preached even in pulpits now. Clearly, the Bible says, that's not a doctrine of God, which God hath created to receive with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. You either believe and know the truth, or you're being taught and you're going to embrace and you're going to believe a doctrine of demons. Doctrines of devils. And the Bible says, seducing spirits. Think about it this way. Demons look more like a false teacher with a tie and a briefcase, or even a pulpit, than they do some zombie or lizard man. There are doctrines of demons. Verse 2 says they speak lies in hypocrisy. You don't know that that's what they are. It's a hypocritical presentation. They are assaulting your mind with lies, or your children's minds with lies. Verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul is telling Timothy, just preach the word. Put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Preach the word of God, and then you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Don't try to be clever or new or novel or brilliant. Preach the word. He says that, as you know. Then thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Look at this. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Verse 7, refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now, folks, think about this for a minute. Do you know what demons do best? They get people away from the nourishing words of Scripture that we must be put in remembrance of over and over again. You know, I preach salvation sermons at almost every funeral memorial service, just as I did with Brother Harold. And it's amazing to me that it doesn't matter how simple the salvation message, the most mature Christians that are out there are the ones who are like, amen. It speaks to them. Because you know what? It's still the nourishing words of God, not some wives' fable. And what demons do is they get you away from this because they don't think it's enough, or there must be more to it. So let's try to find out what's in there that nobody's ever found before. And then they get away from the nourishing words of faith, the faith, and good doctrine, and they focus on old wives' fables. Did you know that old wives' fable is sort of an expression in that day? Paul is equating to demonic, devilish doctrine. I think demons love conspiracy theories. I'm not saying everything is, every conspiracy theory is wrong and whatever, but stuff that's way behind the behind the behind, wives' fables. We want demons to be something that we see on TV or Anton LaVey and the Church of Satan, vampires. But really what demons' doctrines are about, Paul says, is those silly doctrines contrary to the clear word of God. Look at chapter 4 and verse 13 again. Paul says, till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Boring. I mean, can you imagine going on TV and saying, seminar, West Palm Beach, downtown. Reading, exhortation, doctrine. Boring. That's not going to draw a crowd. Now, if we called it a demon cast out seminar or some such thing, look at verse 13 again. Telecom, give attendance to these things. Boring? What about spiritual warfare and doing battle against the soldiers of Satan? Folks, that's exactly what Paul is talking about. They're after your mind. 1 John chapter 4, turn there, would you? 1 John chapter 4. Now follow this very, very carefully. Verse 1 says this, beloved, believe not every spirit. Now, notice the word believe. Believe not every spirit. Spirits teach. There are doctrines of devils. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Test them whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Do you believe in evil spirits, pastor, and demons? Of course I do. I also know that they're not ghosts. They're not spirits of departed loved ones. I know that they're fallen angels. And I know what God says. Don't believe them. Don't believe the doctrines and the wisdom that is from below. Test the doctrine. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, capital S. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is God. See, that's a doctrine. Now, it might be boring to some people, but that is a truth. Of course, there are stories of people in the world, especially in certain parts of the world, that are physically controlled by demons. But I'm telling you, it's only because of what they first believed. They thought and they pondered and they embraced demonic doctrine. Now, the demons are smart. They're going to teach different things in Haiti than they would perhaps in Washington, D.C. In Ephesians chapter 6, look over there with me, would you? A very familiar passage, of course. And the next two scriptures I referred to last week. Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil is a wily. He speaks lies in hypocrisy. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And isn't that true today? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Truth. What about carrying a cross? Some holy water. Pleading the blood over and over again. Commanding the spirit to come out. What about, you know, look. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 8, when the even was come, they brought many unto Jesus who were possessed of devils. And Jesus cast out the spirits with his word. Later on, in that same context and narrative, it says that the 70, not just the 12, there were 70. They returned after a missionary trip and they were all excited. They said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Woo, they were excited about that. They were so excited, and you would think that the Lord would be part of that excitement, but he was not. The Lord said, don't rejoice. But he didn't just say, don't rejoice. He said, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. It's as if he was saying, that's no big deal. If you really want to rejoice, Jesus said. Then he said, rejoice in the truth. Say, for example, your names are written up in heaven. That one truth, wisdom that comes from above, our Lord said, is of more value than your ability to supposedly command demons to come out of other people. And folks, that makes perfect sense. Because our Lord said, the truth is what makes you free. What truth, what doctrine is any more liberating than the truth that I'm going to heaven? I just mentioned two dear people who lost their loved ones. They sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. They're hurting, but they believe the truth. They're in church. Look, the battleground of demonic activity is your heart. It's your mind. Their assault is on what you think and what you believe. If you believe the wrong thing, you really want to know where demons are working best tonight? Oh, I know, Pastor. Let's go to a Haitian voodoo ritual. Let's go down to little Haiti. Let's go over to some foreign country. That's where the devils are working. You know what? Probably you'd find more so at a seminary that denies the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ and teaches young people the same. How many thousands and thousands of young men come out of a Bible-believing church, go off to a liberal seminary, and within a year, they come home and they say, Dad, I don't really believe it like you do anymore. That's where the demons are working. They're assaulting their mind. They have destroyed the potential of a young man who felt called to preach, going off to some liberal seminary, and his mind was assaulted. You don't have to go to some voodoo. Read what's in most mainstream media, the American educational institutions, the World Council of Churches, the National Council of Churches. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Just because they have a collar on doesn't mean they're representing God or a suit and a tie. The battle, Satan knows, is in the mind, and it concerns doctrine. Satan, demons, do not want you to embrace truth. They will say, yea, hath God said. And the best way to hide the truth is come up with a bunch of demonic doctrine, speaking lies in hypocrisy. This recent filibuster in Texas over a bill to ban infanticide, and that's what it is, infanticide. Texas legislators put forward a bill that basically would say, look, you can't kill children. It's after the 20th week. You can't kill children. So someone got up and did a filibuster, and she's become a heroine to the left. But it's what she says and what the media has said in conjunction with her is a lie. Evolution is a lie. It's a doctrine of demons. Karma, astrology, celibacy, the Bible says, as a means of spirituality, this so-called marriage equality pantheism. And you know, I'm not just joking all the time when I refer to the pundits on cable news and their talking heads and university professors and editorial writers for major newspapers and Hollywood, you know, activists as being dangerous. Their words are dangerous. Dangerous. Because many of them teach doctrines of devils. Pastor, I want to really protect my kids from demonic stuff, so, you know, I don't let them play with an Ouija board. I got a better idea. Don't let them watch Nick at Night, because the stuff that they're going to hear there, the kinds of philosophies, the ideas, I don't watch Nick at Night. I don't know what's on. Maybe there's something good on and you let your child watch that. Okay, fine. But you know what my point is? My point, Nick at Night's owned by MTV, and the philosophies that they're going to put out, it's what your children and you are believing. What do they believe? That determines whether or not it's good doctrine or doctrines of devils. Had a Christian member of our church tell me some time ago, Pastor, you got to listen to this. awesome. He gave it to me. I didn't know what it was. I popped it in my CD player, driving down the road. It wasn't Tony Robbins, but it was one of those guys. And so I listened to him for a while, and he'd had his five-hour energy drink, whatever it was. He was hopped up. And about 80% of what he was saying was not biblical. It was warmed over Eastern mysticism junk, and I thought, no wonder. This brother is always depressed and always making the wrong decisions. Doctrines of devils. I remember years ago I was listening to former President Clinton. He was talking about the reason why he vetoed the partial birth abortion bill. Which it boggles my mind that somebody in the so-called enlightened West would do such a thing. Our current president's even worse. You know what he said? He said in this interview, he said, well, my pastor taught me that life didn't, this is his pastor in Little Rock, Arkansas, a Baptist church, First Baptist Church of Little Rock. I don't know who the pastor was then. He taught me that according to Genesis, when he breathed into Adam the breath of life, that life doesn't begin until the baby takes its first breath of air. So, based upon what I was taught, now think about how many hundreds of thousands, if indeed he made that decision based on that, of lives have been lost because of what a man taught. Is it possible that in a Baptist church in America, a doctrine of devil could be? Yes. That's one of them. If he actually taught that that's when life begins. People are hurt. Lives are ruined. People die. Children suffer when you believe the wrong thing. You know, think about 9/11 happened because a bunch of people believed the wrong thing. I don't know what you take in or you allow your children to take in as the source of their doctrine. But make sure you obey the Bible. Make sure that you recognize that it's your calling and your duty to protect your mind. Because there are doctrines of devils out there, and in our society, it's everywhere. Pastors, I remember when I was in a service, someone had demons delivered, and she was screaming and everything. You know when demons are delivered? Demons are delivered in the jail when somebody gets saved, nursing home when somebody gets saved, when a child in Awana gets saved. There's no screaming going on. There's rejoicing up in heaven. It's because they believed the right thing. Every time you come to church on Wednesday, Sunday, you reject a false teaching somewhere for a true one. Every time you accept the word of God over the word of man, demons are defeated. So what do you do tonight? Guard your mind. Be discerning about what you accept in your family, in your heart, as teaching. Challenge false doctrine. If it comes from a school teacher or a documentary that you're watching on television, and then give attendance to reading and to doctrine. Be careful about what you hear and thus what you believe. Because folks, there's one thing the demons can't do. They can't make you listen to their doctrines. They can't force you. In fact, the language of our text earlier said that people would be, quote, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine. They're giving heed to doctrines of devils. Just don't give heed to them. On the contrary, give heed, be nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine. Remember the verse we quoted Sunday. It is the simplicity. He was afraid that their minds would be corrupted by Satan, drawing them away from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. God has not given us a spirit of fear, of love and of power, and of a sound mind. When Jesus was assaulted by Satan, he quoted the word of God. The word of God. Let's pray. Father, we pray that we will give attendance to reading and exhortation and doctrine. And in so doing, Father, I pray that in these last times, your Spirit has spoken expressly, distinctly, that there would be many that would give heed to doctrines of devils, a wisdom that is devilish. May we not. May we be diligent. May we embrace your word. May we bathe ourselves in it. And may we believe it and not believe those who speak lies and hypocrisy. And in so doing, avoid shipwreck, the dangers, the heartaches that come. We'll give you the praise for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. Hey, glad you're saved. Amen. Fellowship, it's early. God bless you all. You're dismissed.